You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Alfredo Corchado. Alfredo is a colleague, former UTEP student, and also the author of Midnight in Mexico, a very successful book. Came out in hardback, it's now available in paperback, and it's also available in Spanish. Alfredo, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Luis, buenos dias. Great to be with you.
Thank you. It's been a while since we've had you here. It's been about a year. But since then, I mean, you've been on the road. This book has just taken off. Did you ever imagine that it would do this?
Not at all. I mean, I remember when the book came out in hardback, it was June 2013, and I asked several authors, I said, you know, how much time should I give myself? And I think the consensus was give yourself at least 6 weeks, maybe less than 2 months. So I'd asked the newspaper. I mean, I work for the Dallas Morning News. I asked them for a little bit of time off. But here we are, June 2014, and it's been nonstop. I mean, which is, it's crazy. It's a crazy schedule, but it's also been very rewarding. I mean, exhausting, obviously, because I'm still the reporter for the Dallas Morning News. I still cover Mexico, cover the border. But it's promoting the book, pushing the book. It's been almost like a full-time job at times. And now that the paperback is out, it's back to trying to talk about Midnight in Mexico and talk about Mexico.
Now, what reaction have you had? Because we all have different perspectives, as you know, as a journalist.
You know, that's a good question. That was something that I really did not expect. I mean, I thought there'd be interest in the Southwest, Mexico, of course. But even the Mexicans, I never imagined that this book would be published in Mexico. I thought this is more of a regional book. And I think that's been perhaps one of the most gratifying things, is that people, not just from the United States, Mexico, but even South America, Europe, there's been a lot of interest. And that's, as someone who's been a reporter for more than 25 years, you know, you're always looking for readers who care. And that, I think, has surpassed my expectations. To go to a place like Norway and do 3 events, and all of them are booked, and people want to talk about Mexico. To go to Argentina just recently, people want to know, you know, what can we learn from Mexico so that we do not make the same mistakes. And it's both a lot of caring, a lot of curiosity, but I think I also detect a real sense of hopelessness of what can we do, you know, to help Mexico. And as a journalist, I think that's been one of the things that I've kind of grappled with the most, because you're there to talk about the book, you're there to talk about Mexico, but you also walk away at times feeling like, you know, what do I tell them? How can they really help? And if you don't mind, Louis, I mean, I want to briefly mention, you know, we have a project called Somos Fun, which was started because of that frustration as a journalist. I came back to El Paso one day, talked to the El Paso Community Foundation, Eric Pearson, and he says, why don't we come up with the fund to try to help Mexicans build a better future, you know. So there's a fund to try to provide scholarships for students, and it's a way to try to empower communities on both sides of the borders, but also people who are really interested, keenly interested in trying to help build alongside Mexicans a future for their own for what I think is kind of a lost generation. You know, I mean, 6-7 years, more than 100,000 people killed or disappear. The impact it's had on families, the impact it's had on young people, it's very heartbreaking. And I think this is one way to try to get people involved.
What you do with Somos and the Somos Fund, is that to help the victims of some of the...
Exactly. It's to try to help victims of violence. Many of them are young people. I mean, the majority of the people killed have been under the age of 30. And it's try to, more than anything, when you talk about lost generation, you're trying to give them hope. Oftentimes, everything is gone but the hope. And so I think if we try to play a role and to try to provide scholarships for higher education, whether it's UTEP, whether it's El Paso Community College, whether it's El WAC de Ciudad Juarez, whatever institution they can apply and get in, we want to be able to play a role and help them get an education.
As you're talking about other people in the world, I was wondering, because we all have a different perspective, what do they see, or were they surprised to hear what you had to say about the border, about Mexico. I'm thinking that they have a different perspective of the border. And when you went and told them exactly what it was like, perhaps it was different from what they imagined.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people focus in on the violence, and they focus in on the grisly images that we've seen over the years, decapitations, the savagery of Mexico. I mean, I always tell people that in many ways this book, Midnight in Mexico, is a poem written to my mother, my father, about the tragic beauty of our homeland. And I think that's something that I try to do, is try to put a human face and try to say, yes, Mexico is going through some very difficult times, but that doesn't mean that all is lost. I mean, I often tell people, during the darkest moments of Mexico, I think we continue to see the best of Mexicans. And in the end, you know, they are building community, oftentimes as victims will tell you, with the blood of their children. And that's something that I try to stress to communities in the United States and other parts of the world, you know, that there is hope. Oftentimes, I think people will lash on to the topic of legalization. And they look at legalization as maybe the magic wand to try to correct the ills of Mexico. I think legalization, as I've said many times, is a huge, huge component. I mean, I wish we had this debate, say, you know, 40 years ago. But I also find it very interesting and very heartening to see that Mexicans will also say, you know what, it's not just about blaming the rest of the world. It's not just about blaming especially the United States for arms, for cash coming south, and for the huge, huge demand for drugs. But it's also about shaming their own authorities, shaming Mexicans, you know, Mexican authorities, and trying to do their part in building community and building better, stronger institutions. It's not a black or white issue. I mean, there's a lot of gray areas.
You said you were surprised that the book was published in Mexico, and as we mentioned, it is available in Spanish. What kind of reaction have you had from not just the Mexican people, because they know what's going on, but the people, as you mentioned, authorities who need to be shamed or people who are responsible for some of this violence?
Surprisingly, I mean, and maybe not surprisingly, I mean, I have not had that much contact with Mexican authorities. I mean, those who I've had will always remind me, you know, I had a conversation recently with one Mexican official who said, you know, you wrote a book called Midnight in Mexico. What about Midnight in the United States? Because the United States is as much to blame as Mexico. And that's interesting. You do expect that coming from Mexican government officials. The public in general has been great, to my surprise, because as someone born in Mexico, like in my case, I mean, I was born in Durango, raised in the United States, you're always afraid you're going to be bleached by the American way. You know, you're going to be labeled a pocho. And I always thought, you know, Mexicans will look at me and say, what does a pocho really know about Mexico? So that was something that made me somewhat hesitant about how the book would be received in Mexico. But I think I was very lucky in that at the book launch, I was accompanied by a very well-known author and writer in Mexico, Guillermo Sorno, by actor Diego Luna and producer Pablo Cruz, plus the publisher of Random House in Mexico. And I think that kind of gave the book much more weight, if you will, you know, among the elites. And I think that has been, at this point, it's been very, very well received.
What about the fact that there is still some skeptical people wondering about the arrest of Chapo Guzman? Some people say it's not really him. Some people say that it was a move done by the government to kind of calm everybody down, and then eventually, if it is him, he would conveniently be let go.
Well, I think there's some truth to the idea that, you know, he was captured to try to calm everyone down. I mean, Mexico was in a very, very key, interesting point in its future, in its existence. I mean, it's the second year of the new government, Enrique Peña Nieto. They are pushing all these reforms, including energy reform, and that's huge on the agenda. So I think in some ways, you talk to officials on both sides, you know, the capture of Chapo Guzman was part of a so-called theater. You know, let's make this a nice theater. And it was interesting, as part of the theater, to have so many U.S. agents involved. I mean, on the air, on the ground. And what I found fascinating as a journalist is that they all decided, along with the Mexican Marines, that if and when Chapo was captured, they would alert the U.S. media immediately to make sure that the news was out, to make sure that it was official. Mexico is also a country of conspiracies. So you're always, I think, gonna, you know, you're going to hear that maybe this wasn't Chapo. This isn't Chapo. I happen to have very good U.S. contacts, U.S. sources, people I've known for many years. And so I do believe them when they say, you know, we captured Chapo. But I also believe, as you said, that this may be part of a theater.
And, you know, if it isn't Chapo, this is a big embarrassment for the United States, because here they have U.S. Marshals, other people involved.
DEA, Homeland Security.
And so if they make a mistake like this, but then again, this administration has been blamed for a lot of things, including the recent trade of the prisoners.
Well, I mean, you never discount anything as a reporter. I mean, you remain skeptical. On this one, I do feel pretty certain that that the man in jail is Chapo Guzman.
Tell me a little bit about, we mentioned that Midnight in Mexico is available in Spanish now, so if you wouldn't mind telling our listeners briefly about this story that you wrote, this book. And for our listeners, we're going to switch over to Spanish right now just to briefly talk about the book.
Bueno, el libro Medianoche en México, yo creo que el talón de fondo es la violencia en México, ¿no? Es lo que hemos sido testigos en los últimos 6-7 años. En algunos instantes, en los últimos 10 años, o sea, cuando ves el caso de Tamaulipas desde el 2004, el talón de fondo es la violencia, es el crecimiento de los carteles en México. Pero yo creo que para mí el alma, el corazón del libro, el espíritu del libro, es la jornada del migrante, ¿no? Es una historia, una confesión de hijo a mamá. Y decirle a mamá, ¿sabes qué, mamá? Tuviste toda la razón de habernos traído a México, pero México aún es un país en pie de lucha. Es la belleza, la tragedia de México, pero también ves la esperanza entre la gente. O sea, es algo que no hay que perderse.
Y esta entrevista la hicimos antes de pues la semana pasada, pues sí, pues la semana pasada fue el Día de los Padres, y qué gran regalo para tus padres que este libro está teniendo tanto éxito.
Es yo creo que para mis padres están sumamente orgullosos, y te voy a decir una cosa, Luis, también el hecho de que tú leíste parte del libro, se los leí, o sea, se los puse en la radio, que los emocionó bastante. Yo quiero opinar que es el mejor regalo para el papá el día del padre, y también para mi mamá el día de las madres. Lloraron mucho cuando lo leyeron, pero también les dio mucho orgullo de que el sacrificio que ellos hicieron por nosotros ha tenido impacto.
Pues te quiero decir también que fue un honor para mí que me diste permiso para leer esa parte de la historia de tus padres y tanto sacrificio que hicieron tu papá y tu mamá para que ustedes tuvieran la vida que tienen ahorita.
Creo que la historia de ellos, la historia de nosotros, es la historia de miles de mexicanos en este país. O sea, mexicanos que se fueron de su país, que siguen añorando, que siguen extrañando a México, y que quieren que sus hijos tengan éxito y que puedan nunca perder la conexión con México, el lenguaje, la cultura. Estamos en El Paso, o sea, ojalá algún día podamos reconectarnos otra vez con Ciudad Juárez, como fue cuando yo era más joven, ¿no? Cuando era estudiante en esta universidad.
¿Y dónde pueden escoger o comprar el libro?
El libro lo puedes encontrar en Barnes & Noble, en cualquier librería independiente en Estados Unidos, en Amazon.com. Y por favor, si tiene algún problema, mándenme un correo en Alfredo Corchado en Facebook o Twitter, arroba AJ Corchado. Y o sea, les prometo que de una u otra manera se los voy a poner en las manos.
Y quiero decirles ahorita que dijo Alfredo de Facebook, también esta entrevista, si la quieren escuchar otra vez, va a estar en Facebook, la página de KTEP, y luego también si van a ktep.org, pueden escuchar también la entrevista. Alfredo, we want to thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here today. And again, congratulations on the awesome success that you've had and will continue to have, and accolades, I'm sure, for the Dallas Morning News and for your family. I know that this is a story that they say it, they think it's or they say it's their job as a parent, but sometimes the children we don't understand until later, and we give them the thanks, well deserved, and a little bit too late, but it's better later than never. So thank you so much. And again, the book is called Midnight in Mexico. It's available in paperback now in Spanish. And if you prefer hardback, it's also available in hardback. Alfredo, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you very much, Luby. And whatever success I've had, I mean, the accolades, it's also a reflection of this community, of El Paso Community College and obviously UTEP. So thank you.
Thank you. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz.